from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, Americans. Happy Friday to you, wherever you might be across this great nation. I am Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope across this great country. And folks, I want to start out with some breaking news today. This is just coming in. We've got all sorts of reporting on this, but we're getting word now that President Trump's inauguration is going to be moved indoors. This news now being reported by multiple major news outlets. The word coming in that the weather apparently is going to be so bad in Washington that they want to move the swearing-in ceremony inside the Capitol Rotunda. So as many, and we have no other details. All of this is unfolding in the past few moments. But what we can tell you is that about a million people are expected to be in the nation's capital for this massive event. And we're going to bring you up to speed. Ben, just keep us updated on any new developments that might come in here as this story unfolds, because a lot of folks are expecting to be outdoors. They were bundling up, getting in, getting the mittens and the gloves and the electric blankets and whatnot. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on the developments here, but no doubt some disappointment.
Yeah, you're right, Todd. And we are getting this from Trump campaign advisor Alex Bruesewitz. He is close with the Trump administration, and he just shared the president's Truth Social. So now we're getting the official word from the president on this. And President Trump writes the following. January 20th cannot come fast enough. Everybody, even those that initially opposed a victory by President Donald Trump and the Trump administration, just want January 20th to happen. It is my obligation to protect the people of our country, but before we even begin, we have to think about the inauguration itself. The president-elect goes on to say the weather forecast for Washington, D.C., with the wind chill factor, could take temperatures into the severe record lows. There is an Arctic blast sweeping the country. I don't want to see people hurt or injured in any way. He goes on to talk about protecting the lives of his supporters, blah, 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 blah.
So this is a pretty big deal. The question now is, what happens, Ben, to the what happens to the parade? What happens to the speeches? What are all these people supposed to be doing? We've got, what, a million people? Many folks are already heading to Washington. It makes you wonder, what about them?
Yeah, I don't know. The last time this has happened was Ronald Reagan in 1985. So there is some precedent to it. But as you know, you've got a lot of people. We have so many people from Memphis. I'm sure so many of your listeners have already made plans to go stand in the nation's capital, the mall there, and watch this spectacle. So very interesting. And as you said, it just came across the newswire a minute ago.
So and I know we're going to be getting questions about this. What about, you know, do we need to cancel our plans? The president says that they're going to still have the big rally, right? That's Sunday. And according to the president, the Capital One Arena on Monday will be available for live viewing. And he plans to join the crowd there after his swearing in. But that's not going to accommodate everybody that's coming to Washington, D.C., paying over $800 to $1,000. I mean, at least $800. I think that was the starting price for a hotel room for the inauguration.
I mean, it's a tough one, because obviously if I was going to the inauguration, I don't want to view it on a jumbotron in a room. I want to be there. But at the same time, they've got to think about law enforcement. You've got to think about first responders. You've got to think about the police canines. The president even talks about the law enforcement horses and the hundreds of thousands of supporters that will be standing outside in single digit weather. You've got to make a decision. What's best for the people? What's best for law enforcement? Oh, it's unfortunate. Here we are.
Is that the real reason? I'm wondering, is it the weather? Is it really the weather, or are there other concerns? They've had a number of helicopters and drones outfitted with devices that can detect just minute amounts of radioactive material that have been literally flying a grid pattern over Washington, D.C. for the past couple of days. Over 25,000 law enforcement there. There have been many, many people in the security forces that are extremely concerned about the safety of the president and, quite frankly, everybody else in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. So you do have to wonder, okay, is it really just about the weather or is that just a very legitimate excuse? All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Are you going to the inauguration? And if so, are you planning to change your plans as a result of this news? I do think it's interesting. The president said, I don't want to see people hurt or injured in any way. That's usually not language one would associate with a cold snap, at least in my estimation. So we'll keep you updated on the story there. We're posting the president's statement over on our website, toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to read that for yourself. But again, the breaking news of the hour starting off the show here, and this may throw a wrench into the big plans for a lot of folks that were going to Washington to be a part of this this event. So we will keep you updated. All right. It is Open Line Friday. That means you call in. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about today. So feel free to give us a call, and we will be taking your calls throughout the show. We're going to take a quick early break, regroup. This is the Todd Stern Show. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns and I love MyPillow made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position. And it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a 6-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. And the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Guys in the Secret Service just alarmed at the possibility of threats and the possibility of an attack. As a matter of fact, CBS News doing a report about the Department of Energy. They've been flying these choppers over D.C. Let's take a listen to that report. Cut two, please.
So, crane to your left.
Got it.
From only 150 feet in the air, pilots dodge buildings.
And tower on your left side.
Got it.
Flying in a grid over the National Mall to scan for radiological or nuclear irregularities, threats like dirty bombs.
So you're trying to create a blueprint of what the radiation in Washington, D.C. looks like ahead of the inauguration.
Correct.
Department of Energy scientist Jacqueline Brandon calls this low-flying helicopter, one of just two of its kind, her office.
If we find a radiological irregularity, we'll investigate it even further.
Highly sensitive technology sets off alarms in the air.
That's an alarm. That is an alarm. It's a slight variation in our spectra is what it's saying.
All right, there you go. So just a little bit of that report there from CBS News. About the concerns and the level of seriousness they're taking this. I mean, there are a lot of folks I've been talking to that have privately expressed that they're worried. They're worried about what could happen in Washington, D.C., especially in light of the Muslim terrorist attack in New Orleans, Louisiana, for example. So anyway, again, reading from Trump's statement, President Trump says that they're going to open the Capital One Arena on Monday, and they're going to use that for live viewing of the ceremony. They're also going to host the presidential parade, and he will join the crowd at Capital One after the swearing in. So we don't know what that's going to look like. You've got thousands of people, marching bands, other performers, floats from all 50 states. There's a lot of pomp and pageantry that one expects with an inauguration. And a lot of people are wondering, okay, will that still take place? The president writing that the weather conditions are going to be dangerous for the tens of thousands of law enforcement, first responders, police, canines, horses, hundreds of thousands of supporters that'll be outside for many hours on the 20th, which is true. I remember the last inauguration I covered, you had to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. Just as an aside here, have we thought about maybe just moving this to, I don't know, the spring or the summer, maybe? Just a thought. The president goes on to say, I have ordered the inauguration address, in addition to prayers and other speeches, to be delivered in the United States Capitol Rotunda, as was used by Ronald Reagan in 1985. So there is some precedent here. The various dignitaries and guests will be brought into the Capitol. It'll be a beautiful experience for all, and especially for the large TV audience. So I guess if you're going, enjoy watching from the comfort of your hotel room, I reckon. The president says all other events will remain the same. Including, they're having a victory rally. They're doing a big rally Sunday, 3 o'clock at the Capital One Arena. And there'll also be three inaugural balls on Monday evening. So there you go. That's it. And I know that's going to be a massive disappointment for a lot of people. But again, I'm okay with this. I think that, honestly, I don't want the president out in major settings like that right now. We've got too much at stake here. And honestly, having the entire MAGA movement up on that platform makes it one very big target for a lot of folks. And that concerns me, too. And I know it concerns a lot of other people as well in leadership. So I suspect that the good people in Secret Service are breathing a sigh of relief right now, because they were all very concerned that there could be some sort of an outdoor attack using drones, which again goes back to whatever was happening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So we'll keep you updated. Any other developments? Does this change your plans? I know many of you were planning on going. Are you still going to go to Washington, or are you going to stay home? Or are you just going to save $800 on a hotel room per night and watch all of the festivities from the comfort of your home? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, yesterday, we had an interesting conversation with a congressman from Wisconsin about these 20-somethings up on Capitol Hill. This story went viral after our show yesterday. And you had a lot of folks out there who were very upset with this idea that congressional staffers should only work 32 hours a week. So the congressional staffers, a progressive organization of staffers, they're petitioning Congress to lower their weekly work time from 40 hours a week to 32 hours a week. And there was people are really upset about this, and it's bipartisan mockery, by the way, coming from this. We read to you yesterday some comments from Richie Torres, the Democrat from New York. And then last night on Newsmax, had a conversation with a congressman from Wisconsin. Guys, do we have, we don't have that. So we'll get to it sometime. Yeah, we'll get to it later on in the show. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. And the congressman pointed out something very interesting about these workers up on Capitol Hill. He said nobody really works that hard up on Capitol Hill. As a matter of fact, he actually suggested that these individuals should consider going out to a farm, and maybe they ought to just try milking the cows or baling hay for a couple of hours and really try to appreciate and understand what a hard day's work really looks like. But it's really very entertaining to watch a lot of these Gen X lawmakers and boomer lawmakers laughing at these kids, saying, what's wrong with you people? You've got it easy. You've got it made here. Come on. Jeez-a-loo. Anyway, we'll get into more of that in just a little while. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller is President Trump's deputy chief of staff, and he is urging Republicans to take tough action when it comes to these sanctuary cities. Cut number 8.
It's going to be at light speed, Sean. The moment that President Trump puts his hand on that Bible and takes the oath of office, as he has said, the occupation ends, Liberation Day begins. He will immediately sign executive orders, sealing the border shut, beginning the largest deportation operation in American history.
So Stephen Miller says that Trump needs to go in, and Congress is going to have to do this. We're going to have to slash funding for the sanctuary cities. Now, on Monday, after Trump takes the oath of office, it's going to be a free-for-all. And you will immediately start to see the reports. And trust me on this, there will be video, calls will be made to newsrooms, and there will be camera crews there when the first illegals get pulled out of their homes and sent back to wherever they came from. But in a number of these places, we're going to watch mayors and city council members, law enforcement, school boards, and they're all going to stand up and they're going to fight back. And many of them say that they're going to be sanctuary cities for these illegals, and they're not going to allow ICE agents. They're not going to allow the government to come in and do anything. Well, if that happens, Stephen Miller says, we've got to go in there and we've got to cut federal funding for every sanctuary city. 1,000% correct. But not only that, we also need to start defunding all of these schools. And we've got a story coming up a little bit later on in the show where schools are now threatening to fight back against the government and protect the children of the illegal. So we'll get into more of that as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Evelyn in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, wants to weigh in on the inauguration weather. Hi, Evelyn. What's on your mind?
Well, the weather. If it was a blizzard, nobody would question this. Cold weather is really rough, and I think that's a wise choice, and we shouldn't be questioning. We should accept it and enjoy the inauguration. That's all. That's my thought.
Yeah, so are you worried, Evelyn? Were you ever worried about the security concerns people had?
Sure, anybody would be worried about the security, but I just moved yesterday, and the weather was totally awful, and our movers were freezing. And to have people standing in those crowds in freezing weather, President Trump is making the right decision. And to me, it doesn't matter if it's security or weather. That's awful weather, and that should be honored and not questioned.
All right, Evelyn, we got it. Thank you for that. All right, we're going to take a break here, folks. We're going to regroup. We're going to be getting to your calls. It is Open Line Friday, so whatever you want to talk about today, if you have a question, give me a call, and we will take your calls coming up. Also, Senator Lankford from Oklahoma coming up in just a few moments as well. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Stick around. We'll be right back, America.
Jim was at the laundromat when he heard. His ear said, Maracas, senor. But his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, sir, your scent Maracas smell amazing. You could call them scent Maracas, but most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads. Way fresher than detergent alone.
folks. And if you're just joining the show, to repeat the breaking news, this was all unfolding in real time at the top of the show here. The inauguration has been moved indoors. This coming from President Trump himself. The reason why they're expecting extreme cold, and the president very concerned about the safety of all of those folks who are going to be in Washington. They were expecting as many as a million people to be there, and a lot of folks are already on their way to Washington. So now the question is, all right, well, what does everybody do? Do they just stay in the comfort of their hotel rooms? We are working to get all of those details to you. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator James Langford, the Republican from Oklahoma, joins us. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
I am actually doing well. I am warm and inside the Capitol right now, and I am just as shocked as you that everything has moved inside. And,
yeah, I mean,
all of our folks from Oklahoma are scrambling right now to say, what do we do? And we're trying to get all the facts and figures. And I pray for those folks that are trying to line up logistics right now.
You know who I feel bad for, Senator? The folks who were shelling out $800 a night. And those were the low-end dollars on those hotel rooms.
There'll be lots of other inaugural events and things. There'll be some rallies. The president is holding the Capital One Arena. So there's some other events that are going on. But for a lot of folks that are coming for a historic inauguration, it'll be a downer. But I would tell you, the folks that are in the standing seats, those folks are stretching down the mall. I assume those screens will still be on, and they'll still be able to watch it outside on those screens for what's happening inside the Capitol. So we'll see as it goes.
Senator, I know it's all unfolding. Have they given you, any of you senators, any guidance or anything yet?
They have not yet. In fact, I just asked right before I got on the phone on this to be able to get some additional guidance on that. All they've said is, hey, it's coming. We'll be inside the Capitol for the actual inauguration itself. But that's all that we know of at this point.
You know, I was out there. I had to cover a couple of those for Fox, and one of them, it was frigid. I just can't, you know, I still remember how cold it was, and I'm thinking, can't we move this? Let's move it to May, June. You know?
The inauguration of the new president used to be March the 4th. That was moved a century ago constitutionally from the 4th of March to the 20th of January. And it might be a little bit warmer on the 4th of March. Maybe we just need to go back to that date.
That's it. It's not good for us Southerners. We don't do well in the cold.
Well, I would just tell you, I just talked to Christy Noem just in her hearing about an hour ago. And I said to her, you know, I've been whining to my wife about how cold it will be on inauguration. We're going to celebrate. And we're so excited about the inauguration of President Trump. But we've been whining to her about the temperature until I checked South Dakota's temperature on Monday, and their high in South Dakota is 1 degree on Monday. So for all of us from the South, I guess we just got to suck it up.
That's it. Senator, speaking of Christy Noem, your take. I thought she did a pretty good job. She was really, really hitting some good, solid points in her confirmation hearing this morning.
She did, actually. Very solid. Now, that's a nonpartisan role. I mean, Homeland Security is security. That's not Republican, Democrat. In fact, that's one of the areas that I even asked her about on that, because obviously FEMA has been used in a partisan basis by this administration. They literally, during the hurricane in Florida, they had a supervisor from FEMA instructing them not to go to homes where there was a Trump sign out front during the campaign, which is just absolutely absurd. So we asked her, okay, is this a nonpartisan role? And of course, she affirmed that. She was very level-headed. She came across very competent, showed her leadership as a governor and her background and experience in these areas, and I think she'll do a really good job.
Are you surprised? It seems as though, and maybe if I'm wrong here, let me know and steer me on the right path. It just seems like these confirmation hearings so far are going pretty smoothly. Even some Democrats have been pretty impressed with the nominees.
Yeah, they have gone smoothly. Obviously, a lot of news was made around Pete Hegseth and all the focus because he was the very first one and all those, the drama on that. But we've gone through 14 hearings this week. We've had Director of CIA, we've had Office of Management and Budget, we've had Department of Transportation. I mean, lots of folks that have come through this week for the nomination process and the confirmation process. But they've all gone very, very well. Everything's on track. We really believe that Marco Rubio will be the first of those, which is typically true. The Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense are typically the first ones that are done right off the bat. We may very well be able to get Marco Rubio done on Monday, immediately after the inauguration. And so there's some, these key security roles that we've got to get quickly are all moving right on time.
Let's talk about DOGE for a second. I know you're a member of the caucus, Senator. How quickly do you think we're going to be able to start targeting government waste? I know you've already rolled out a package that will address that very issue.
We are already on that. Now, there's, as you know full well, you don't just do it and the next day it's done. This becomes a rolling set of issues on this. So what we've rolled out this week is some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. We focused a lot on the crazy grants. I talk all the time about the we funded drag shows in Ecuador through our foreign funding. What in the world? So that we look at that grant. I'm asking the question, how did it happen? What was the process behind it that led to that, that allowed that? That's the thing to be able to focus on. So what I'm trying to focus on is how are we dealing with oversight for telework? How are we doing with all the grant oversight? How are we doing with how new regulations are actually created or reviewing old regulations so that we can go after the core of how did that happen? So we're rolling some of those things out. And we're also trying to separate out these are things the executive branch can do on their own. They can literally do an executive order and make that stop. These are the things that are going to need legislation. And so we'll kind of know who's what job, and we can start all taking off on that.
Wow. Senator James Langford on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and you've got six bills here, right? I mean, this is a lot of work that you and your team have been doing.
Yeah, we've got that's the first six. There'll be quite a few more that'll come out on this. But let me give you an example. The way the regulations are done right now doesn't allow for a lot of input from the American people. So a regulation may seem like a good idea to somebody sitting in an office in Washington, D.C. about agriculture who literally lives their whole life on concrete. But it would be a good idea to get input from people that live their life on dirt out in rural areas if you're going to do a new regulation on agriculture. Well, this puts that requirement there. It doesn't change the ability to do a regulation, but gets more input into it early on from the people that are actually affected by it so that the regulation doesn't do dumb stuff. That's going after the heart of how some of these crazy rules actually start, is how the input is actually blocked out from the voice of the American people. And so that's one of them. We've got a whole bunch more, but it's process things like that that we're trying to be able to fix.
Well, it was interesting. You did an interview with Newsmax, and you pointed out something that is so true, that one of the most important nominees is Russ Vought over at the OMB.
He is. Actually, Russ Vought in the Office of Management and Budget is the most important office no one's ever heard of because all regulations get approved through that office. The budget gets compiled and approved through that office. They do the oversight on all the agencies. It's an entity that literally sits right off the White House, and they do all of those process things. They save us money, or they spend a lot of money. They waste money, or they preserve it. And so Russ, and he's been in that role before. He served in a great way for President Trump before, and President Trump has tapped him to be able to come back. He's been sitting and thinking about the things that he would have done better for 4 years, and he now has the opportunity to be able to come back and do it after we confirm him.
From the Republican caucus side here in the Senate, everybody going to be are we going to see unity here? I know Lisa Murkowski sort of you know some of her public statements. I get that, but at the end of the day, are the Republicans going to be united here?
Yeah, we have a lot more in common with each other than we do with the Democrat perspective by far. That's why we're Republicans or Democrats on this. We don't all think alike. I joke with the folks that are in Oklahoma as Oklahoma Republicans. They'll look at one of the Republicans from the Northeast and they'll say, why don't they think like us? And I was like, because they're not from Oklahoma. We think differently as Republicans. We all want a more efficient government. We all want taxes low. We're all passionate about the value of children. I mean, we can go through all these different things that are consistent for us, but there are some differences that are in that, and quite frankly, they represent their state. So one of the things that we do is we find the common ground, even among Republicans, to be able to move these things. But there's been a tremendous amount of unity as President Trump has come in to be able to say, let's move on the ideas. We got to deal with taxes. We don't want to have taxes go $4 trillion at the end of this year. So we got to be able to deal with tax policy. We got to deal with energy permitting and get American energy dominance going again. We got to close our border. We're all completely united on that. So there's a lot of areas that we're very, very united on, and we're going to focus on those areas first. Areas where we may have disagreement will come up later, but let's get the areas of common ground and get them done as fast as we can.
I like that. Senator, somebody needs to buy your constituents' services team some lunch today. I think they're going to be fielding a lot of calls.
They're going to be dealing with a lot of calls. Hey, I've got one other breaking thing is that their President Biden has just announced a 28th Amendment to the Constitution and that he recognizes the ERA Act, which was never ratified by the sufficient number of states, and quite a few states withdrew their ratification decades after they put it in. President Biden just unilaterally announced, we have a 28th Amendment to the United States.
Wow.
If President Trump would have done that 3 days before he left office, the media would have gone crazy. But right now, the media seems to be ignoring it because it is a constitutional crisis for the president to suddenly just announce we have a new amendment to the Constitution that was not sufficiently ratified. So that will bubble up. There's one more piece of news for you to be able to look at today.
All right, Senator, busy News Friday here on the show. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, Senator James Langford, breaking news on the Todd Starnes show. Ben Dieter, I know you're sending me lots of stuff here. Pop in and you can give me some updates on the information you've been gathering. Senator Langford said, I think everybody's in the same boat. Nobody had advance warning of what was about to happen in Washington. Everybody's now scrambling because, Dieter, you've got folks, and I'm telling you, I think bare minimum people are spending about $5,000 bare minimum to get up to Washington for this. When you have the airline tickets, the food, the hotels, the tickets to the balls, some of those are $1 million, the price tag.
And you've got to have a tuxedo and you've got to have a prom dress. So Jake Sherman, who's a Capitol Hill reporter, has lots of great sources on the
Punch
Hill.
Bowl.
Yes, sir. He has been reaching out to people on the Hill about logistics with such big breaking news that you're moving the inauguration inside, i.e. where do members go? What about the constituents? As you just heard in that conversation with Langford, he said crickets so far, which would match and be pretty consistent with what we're hearing from lawmakers.
All right. I don't want to get conspiratorial, but I'm getting conspiratorial here.
I'm grabbing the tinfoil.
We've known for days now that the weather was going to be the weather. That was not in dispute. I mean, it's pretty clear the cold was going to be there. And yeah, it's going to be cold. It was as cold as it was in 85, which is when Reagan moved his indoors. I get that. 25 degrees. They're going to have a wind chill. It's going to be cold. You've had people going and attending NFL games this season that have been even colder than that. And so and the fact that nobody knew anything about this, it happened immediately. No lawmakers were told in advance. I'm wondering if it's really the weather.
You know,
just throwing that out there.
And I don't know if this is something where you take it at your own risk. You know, you're going to the nation's capital. You know, you will be probably up in lines, crowds, 5 o'clock in the morning, and you'll be waiting all day. And so you advance yourself for that. You prepare yourself. I know in Memphis, I was talking to a lot of folks that are headed that way. They've got hand warmers. They've got not one, two jackets, but they've got three coats. They've got leggings. They've got winter pants. They've got the snow pants. So they were ready. They kind of knew the conditions before they booked their trip that it was going to be incredibly cold. And now they're devastated. It's a bummer. It's a big old bummer. But to your point, were they aware of something that the public cannot be aware of? We may never know. But what we do know is you have a lot of devastated people. The MAGA movement just really feeling this one.
No, it gets cold out there. I'm telling you.
You do? You just bundle up? Did you have a little heater there for yourself?
Well, better than that.
What?
My producer went out and bought an electric blanket, and I was toasty up there.
Wow.
Yep, she was great.
I mean, it's such a historic day. You would think maybe they could just give everybody electric blankets. Secret Service isn't going to allow that to happen.
That's not going to happen. All I can tell you is this. We want people to be safe. We want the president to be safe. We need the vice president to be safe. It's just a great big target. And for weeks, there have been folks out there, the Dan Bonginos and others, I think even Steve Bannon out there, warning people, hey, this is not good. Let's go to Eads, Tennessee. Amy is listening to us on KWAM. Amy, what say you?
Well, good morning or good afternoon, and aren't we excited about Monday? And I tell you, I got an invitation to go to the inauguration, and when I heard that weather was going to be so cold, I'm so glad that I have another reason to be here in Tennessee watching it from the comfort of my house. And I think it's totally a security issue. I mean, I know I've heard on Fox News and a few other things speculation that they're combing the area and planes are flying at low altitudes over there to gather information on potential nuclear threats or any kind of radioactive threats. So I'm glad, quite frankly, that they're moving it inside. And I just pray for the security of our president and everybody else up there.
Yeah, I'm with you, Amy, and I'm glad. I'm glad they're moving it inside. I think they should have done it all along. I know this president loves the optics. He wants to see the massive crowd. You know, he's all about how big, how many people can we get there? And I understand that. But at the end of the day, we've got to protect this president. We've got to protect the vice president. And we've got to make sure this agenda gets through.
Yes, sir. And not only the president and the vice president, their families and the cabinet members and their families. I mean, it's just a... It's a rich target.
Too risky. Yeah, too risky. All right. Amy.
All right, thank you.
All right, got to run. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. GW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Patty, now you were heading to the inauguration, but you're not going anymore.
No. I'm in Greenville right now, Virginia. It's freezing here. I'm not kidding. It's cold now. It's only 30-something degrees.
30-something degrees. Ben Dieter's like, that's summertime back in Pennsylvania.
Well, I'm from Jersey, so Ben and I could go at that at another time, okay? Yeah, I know. We used to walk to school in 28 degrees. You know what I'm saying? But I think there's more to it, Todd.
You think so? You don't think it's just... Because, again, I mean, yeah, it's going to be cold, but, I mean, it's 20-something degrees. I think a lot of folks would be willing to go to a...
I believe there's a security risk. I believe there's something not right here. They're going to blame it on the weather, but I believe there's something more to it.
Patty, I think you're right. I really do. It doesn't add up. The immediacy of it all, this is something that even, you know, you've got senators... And usually the senators are the first people on the know, but everybody's been caught off guard by this. I think that's what even Jake Sherman said. Did you buy the hotel rooms and all that kind of stuff?
No. I'm in Greenville. We're like 160 miles away. We were going to drive in. We were going to drive in, all of us, but we're going to have a big party here at Kara's. We're going to have a big party. We went to the dollar store. Kidding. We got red, white, and blue. We're going to have a big MAGA party here.
There you go. Patty, that's it. You got to post some photos on our social media pages. Patty, you hang in there and have a good time on Monday. We're going to be celebrating it here on the Todd Stern Radio Show. We're going to have our own party on the radio.
Wait, what about the parade?
We can have a parade. Okay. We'll dress Dylan up as Uncle Sam or something. Get Merlot.
I'll be the Statue of Liberty.
Where's Merlot? All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Now Taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is Taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Taxes, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, hello everybody. Some breaking news from CNN. This is great. You're going to love it. So, CNN is getting smacked around, and you got to love this stuff. They went after a Navy guy. His name is Zachary Young, and they did all sorts of horrible things with this guy and said all sorts of terrible, untrue things. And so Zachary Young sued. And we just got word that CNN has lost the lawsuit, and they're going to get smacked up. They've been found guilty of defaming Mr. Young, and they have ordered CNN to pay the Navy veteran $5 million in damages. Good for you. Good for you, Mr. Young. Unbelievable. So anyway, CNN, I guess they're going to have to cancel next year's Christmas party because they're going to be coming up short with cash. So anyway, that news coming out of a Florida courtroom this afternoon. By the way, welcome. Today is Open Line Friday. We're going right to your phone calls just in a matter of moments. 901-260-5926. Of course, the other big breaking news story, the entire inauguration is being moved indoors. And a lot of people are asking a lot of questions, and nobody seems to have the answers to. For example, what happens to the million people that are already on their way or are in Washington, D.C.? Where can they watch the inauguration of festivities? Will they be able to get refunds on their hotel rooms? Probably not. A lot of people are already, I was just talking to somebody who said, well, you know, should I go? Should I stay? What do I do? If there's not going to be an inauguration, because the whole point of being there is saying, you know what, kids, when I was your age, I was standing in the Washington Mall and it was 30 degrees below zero and people were dropping dead. And, you know, you don't have that story now, right? Well, I was in my hotel room. It was 75 degrees. It doesn't have the same oomph, you know what I mean? I'm just saying. So anyway, there's a fascinating story out of Time. And apparently, Ben Dieter, I'm surprised because, you know, for me, it's sort of like Christmas, like the expectation of Christmas Day. You know, I can't wait for the deportations to start. Can't wait for the bureaucrats to start losing their jobs and heading to the unemployment lines or defunding all of these sanctuary cities. It's going to be like Christmas Day every day during the Trump administration. I'm excited about that, but not everybody's excited about that. It's sad.
I can't imagine why.
Time magazine has a story up, and it's puzzling, and I have a couple of questions about it. 11 ways to avoid spiraling on Inauguration Day.
Did Kamala Harris write this?
No, Angela Haupt is the author. Ms. Haupt says on Monday, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. For some, it's a highly anticipated day of celebration. Others have been dreading it and would happily finagle a deal with the universe to skip to some other day 4 years down the road instead. Really? Are they that distraught about this? So she goes on and she lays out some things people can do to make it through the inauguration. So I guess a lot of people they've come down with the raging case of the TDS. It's an ugly disease. It's a mental disease. And she's giving people some things to do. First of all, she says, give back.
What's a give back?
You know, volunteer.
Oh.
Hey, you know, it's because it's also MLK Jr. Day.
Oh, no.
So, you know.
We're in Memphis. Be careful, Todd. Yeah,
you're not going to be. They won't be celebrating the inauguration here in this city.
No.
So they're suggesting actually using MLK. This, honest to goodness, they said, use MLK Day as a way to give back. Brush a horse. Bathe a dog. Those are some of the things they recommend.
Wow.
Oh, they also suggest working out. Even if you're not typically a gym goer, consider taking a jog or jogging, as they call it, or hop on a bike.
Something tells me that the people with the raging case of TDS, they don't work out. I've seen these people. They're not working out.
Oh, they also say get creative. Maybe do things like sing or paint. Maybe do ceramics or cooking. An excellent way to get out of your head. Now, this next one here has me puzzled, and maybe our listeners can help us out because I don't have a clue what they're talking about. They recommend doing something called forest bathing. And I'm not sure if that's like you're in the
bathing?
Woods. Bathing. Yeah, like if you're in the woods and you got to take a poop and you didn't bring any Charmin, so you got to grab some leaves and, you know, clean up your nether regions. I think that's what this is. But anyway, the author says she spent a week in the New Hampshire White Mountains. Oh, that's triggering. Where she enjoyed counting the trees and observing their long bare branches. That's a little pervy. I just spent the week traipsing through the woods, hugging bare naked trees.
I mean, I could see going to the forest and grabbing sticks and banging them together, taking out your rage on a tree stump or
was
something.
Was it the feminist? There was some video online of them. Yeah. It's a feminist going out there and doing
it's
these
therapy.
Primordial screams.
Yeah. They run around naked with sticks, limbs, logs, and they bash them against each other.
Are evil!
They say it's very therapeutic, but here they're bathing in them.
Yeah. So apparently you know, and by the way, there was some lady who got in trouble. They were trying to have, they call it ecosexuals, and she was trying to have relations with some sort of a tree. And as the story goes, she thought it was kudzu, but it turned out to be poison ivy.
Oh.
That's unfortunate.
Very, very itchy.
And that probably left a mark. Just get some hashtag calamine lotion.
So this is the best they've got. What else do they have?
Forest bathing. That's okay. Pretty much it. They suggest journaling, do a brain dump, do something kind. Oh, maybe we could like put little Trump signs in the yards of liberals to make them feel a part of the big day.
Mm-hmm.
You should go see a performance, maybe Carrie Underwood at the inauguration, perhaps. Oh, I wonder if she's still going to sing.
Ooh.
I mean, you know, that's a big deal. Oh, here we go. Dance it out. They say that you should dance, and they specifically mention two songs, something called Happy by Pharrell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an old song. Also, Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. They also recommend Crying with a Friend. So if you're having trouble coping with Donald Trump being your president, they say you should cry with a friend. Well, there you go. Just some of the many ways it goes on and on and on, Ben Dieter. These people need psychiatric help.
It's interesting because I've heard a lot of different lawmakers, Republicans, that have gone on the record and say, listen, we didn't support Barack Obama. We didn't support Joe Biden, but we would show up to the inauguration because, I don't know, it seems like a patriotic thing to do. We've got a list of over 20 different lawmakers that are vowing. They've released statements, our own congressman right here in Memphis, that they will be snubbing the inauguration.
So the Democrats aren't going, like Steve Cohen is the Democrat congressman from Memphis. Here's the problem. I get it if you're going to have a Democrat lawmaker, but this guy is like really sleazy and has bad hygiene.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi's not going to the inauguration now. I wonder now with it being moved indoors, now they have a great excuse. We can't get out there. There's not going to be room for us.
Well, the reason why is because they've got so many elderly up there now, elderly lawmakers, they have to have their caregivers alongside of them. And so there's just really not enough room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, let's go to some, let's go to some of the phone lines here. Let's start with Norma in Jackson, Tennessee. WTJS wants to talk about the inauguration. Hi, Norma. What's going on?
What's your name, Todd? Last weekend before the crypt keepers leave Washington, hopefully.
Ah, yes. Joe Biden, the crypt keeper.
Oh, my God. Anyway, what I called about, I was thinking about Donald Trump taking the oath, and I always remember back. I was born in 1943, so I've been through a lot of presidents and a lot of wars, but when he takes that oath, everybody needs to remember Joe Biden took the same oath, and look what he's done to our country. So I'm going to hang on every word because he's totally tried to destroy America. That's my feeling. So I think if we can get through the weekend, it has to get better. I'm not going to say it couldn't get worse, but anyway, I'm going to be doing the Trump dance until it's over.
I love that, Norma.
And send us a video, Norma, yeah. If you do the Trump dance.
Oh, everybody in town has seen me do it. I mean, all over the place. I mean, I'll catch y'all up on what I did with all my Trump signs. They have just now come down a week ago. I remodeled them. For every holiday, they were remodeled. And I would like to say a special Merry Christmas to Kamala Harris.
Oh, Merry Christmas to Kamala.
Yeah, we're not supposed to say that in this country.
Oh, that's true.
What I don't understand, well, I do, Nancy Pelosi and all the ones that took the money to promote Kamala Harris, including Kamala Harris, I see none of them in California out there helping these people with all the millions they have stolen from our country. None of them are putting their heads up, so... That shows their truth. You can tell a person's true personality and what they believe in by watching their actions. So.
There you go, Norma. All right. Well, you get back to dancing, Norma, and I think we're going to have a lot to celebrate and a lot to party about in the coming weeks, months, and years. Thank you for calling in. By the way, this story out of the Daily Mail, things are bad. Really bad between Biden and Kamala. And they say that she is deeply sad, and she feels betrayed by Joe. And is apparently she is on the warpath. We'll jump into more of this in just a little bit. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You know, Todd, God has had his hands in this whole thing with Trump and protecting him. And I think after what everybody has said, bringing this to inside and not keeping it outside was God's way of saying, we're going to protect him. So you got to keep that in mind. And secondly, they ought to take your advice and have it another time during maybe a warmer month and then have a second party for him. That's just my thought.
All right. Well, thank you there. That's Mark from the Villages using our shout-out app. If you want to do that, all you have to do is download our app. Go to toddstearns.com. It's a free download, and you can actually record a message and send it directly to us like Mark from the Villages just did. By the way, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Some breaking news out of Ohio this morning. Vivek Ramaswamy just making it official. He is going to be running to be the next governor of the Buckeye State. So there, a lot of folks were wondering, where's Vivek? He hasn't been on X in a long time, and you know, since the whole H-1B visa thing. And well, now we know. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. David in San Francisco. Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, thanks, Todd. You consider yourself a Christian. What do you think about the Garden of Eden?
Well, what? Like the Olive Garden or, you know, Adam and Eve?
More like Adam and Eve.
Oh, Adam and Eve.
What was the purpose of humans on Earth?
All right, well, let's...
To be stewards of the earth.
Right.
So when I heard you laughing about environmentalists, aren't environmentalists stewards of the earth?
Well, we're all supposed to be conservationists. I would prefer the term conservationist. And David, yeah, I do laugh. It's true. And maybe that's mean of me. But, you know, if you're going out there and you're trying to have physical relations with, I don't know, say, an oak tree, I'm going to not only chuckle, but I also wonder, is that some sort of a sexual assault? I mean, did the tree consent?
Well, that's not what you were laughing about. But
actually, it was. I mean, well, I wouldn't be laughing about. I mean, a tree. Look, if you're a foliage, I don't care if you're a flower, if you're a pansy, I don't care if you're a daffodil or a shrub. I believe that you should be able to live your life however you live your life, without having some sort of a human show up and get intimate with you without your permission.
Okay, so you're trying to sidetrack the issue of stewardship.
No, you asked the question. I'm trying to answer it for you.
God's pronouncement for humans was that we were to be stewards. Now, you said that conservation is a problem. Well, isn't that what a conservative
is? No, I said I prefer the term conservation, and we are supposed to be out there, and we are supposed to take care of God's creation. So what is your point? Well, let's get around to your point here, David. We're going to run out of time.
Well, I contend that Donald Trump is a fake conservative, and he's a fake Christian.
All right, let me stop you. First of all, I'm not going to judge a man's heart. That's not for me to do. But I would agree with you, and Trump would agree with you. Trump is not a conservative. He is a populist at his heart. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, his words and deeds showed that he goes for Project 2025, that they are the biggest pack of polluters. Project 2025 are the polluting moochers that poison the rivers, poison the skies, and never clean it up.
It's not true. But, David, let me ask you this, David, because we're going to run out of time here. Do you want to just do away with gasoline and oil? You want to go back to the days of riding around on horseback and having candles? Is that what you're advocating?
I lived in real near the Utah line in Colorado. They had a whole bunch of irrigation ditches out there, and those irrigation ditches ran 24 hours a day. It'd be easy to have paddle wheel ski lifts as mass transit out there. Real easy. You don't have to screw around.
So you want to get rid of all the automobiles? You're good with that?
We have clever humans that have come up with mass transit ideas for centuries. And the oil and gas boys want us to be addicted to them.
Oh, is that it? So we're addicted to the... Well, look, if you know of any other way to drive around in a car, and I'll tell you this, all those folks down in Southern California, guess what went up in smoke along with their houses? All of those recharging stations for their electric cars, which went up in smoke too. All right, David, good try. I'm not quite sure what that was about, but I don't know. Maybe he likes trees. We don't judge here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Snyder Show. This item just in from Fox News, they're saying that the assistant special agent in charge in New Orleans, that would be Althea Duncan, the DEI FBI hire in New Orleans, has been reassigned. Remember her? She was the one who jumped in and said this was not a terrorist event. Well, she has apparently been reassigned. We have no information on where she's going to be working. I would say maybe North Pole, Alaska, somewhere a little remote. But she has not been fired. She is still with the FBI. All right, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always fun to have our good buddy Dave Bratt joining us. He is the vice president, the senior vice president of business relations at Liberty University. Dave, hope you're doing well.
Hey, doing well. It's 40 degrees plus in Lynchburg, Virginia. So for about 2 or 3 days, I'm doing well.
All right. That's kind of like summertime for you guys out there.
Yeah, it's great.
Ish. Great. Dave, we know that you guys were sending a couple of busloads of students, Liberty students, to the inauguration. Of course, the award coming out that it's all being moved indoors. Any update on the Liberty students? What are you guys going to be doing?
Yeah, no, we're still at it. We took 250 students up to the speaker's office. Mike Johnson hosted us and came out and gave a half hour talk to the students, and then about 7 senators and 10 congressmen. So, and the students just had a great time, so we thought we'd do it again. So Wednesday from 2 to 5 p.m., if you're from Liberty, Even if you're not, if you're CEO interested in coming to Sea Liberty, the CEO Summit, et cetera, just contact me or just show up at the Cannon Office Building. We got a room for 300, 100 students, and probably 10 congressmen and senators or so coming by to greet our students and give them updates. And our students just love it. They learn so much up there listening to these great leaders.
And this is really one of the great things about Liberty University is that you guys have the access and you provide students the networking opportunities here to meet with lawmakers and other business leaders.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. And I texted Lee Zeldin, hopefully the head of the EPA coming up, Linda McMahon. She's been to Liberty at our CEO Summit. She's going to be the new Secretary of Education. She might be coming by. Hegseth, I think, is trying to get by. So we could have some surprise guests as well.
That's all happening Wednesday of next week from 1 to 5 o'clock in the Cannon Office Building.
Yep, you got it.
So do people, can they just show up? Do they need to register in advance, Dave? How do they do that?
No, if they're Liberty, I mean, we got to vet people, you know, security-wise. We can't just let strangers in the room. But, you know, if you're Liberty, you got a Liberty alum or a proof of whatever, come on by. And if you're, you know, if you're business folks in the area, you're interested in making friends with our CEO Summit, you know, 500, you know, Fortune 500 leaders and international Africa connections and all that kind of thing. We're going to have some Bulgarian friends with us, some Korean friends with us. So it's always exciting times.
The CEO Summit, and by the way, the reason I was asking, we may send Dieter up, and I don't want you, I just want to make sure he doesn't get tased or anything.
Oh, no, he's good, right. No, send him up.
All right, so good stuff. So you've got the big summit, and I love this because it really does, I mean, we talk about wanting to change America, and we talk a lot about how the left, you know, a lot of their business leaders and successful people, they use their money to advance these leftist causes. And it's really nice to start networking like-minded CEOs and business owners together.
Yeah, well, I don't want to badmouth any other universities, but it is stunning. I have CEO, major CEO friends I know, wealthy people from around Virginia or whatever, I was in Congress, and they're still, you know, donating by the millions or tens of millions to schools who do not share their values. And so, you know, if you want to network, our CEO Summit is kind of a vetting thing. You can show up with like-minded people who roughly share the same Judeo-Christian values. And that in itself is valuable. And then, if you know, the great thing about hanging out with good people is if they can't help you, they're going to help you find people who can. And so it's just everybody goes away in great spirits and they've improved themselves. They get to meet with our students who they can't believe the ethics and the work ethic and just the warm smile. It's hard to describe them. But, yeah, it's a winner. It's going to be October 14, 15, 16. And people can just, you know, get me, dabratt@liberty.edu. If you're CEO or C-suite, doctor, lawyer, whatever, come on out.
And folks, we're going to be promoting this as we get closer to the event, but it's really worth it to go and to be a part, network, learn a lot of great stuff, and you're going to have a great time. The fellowship is going to be pretty spectacular. Dave, I want to talk about the first days of the Trump administration. I'm not sure that the American people are prepared for the ferocity that we're about to see. We're going to be seeing a lot of stuff happen in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's too bad. You know, the Democrats are so good at messaging. You know, it's got to be bipartisan. Let's work together. And then you turn on the TV and see them ripping off the heads of every single executive level appointee to be secretary, right? From Hegseth on down, and even our own side, the turtle is potentially given some of our, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, who's one of the greatest people ever. She came to Liberty last year. She's a personal friend and a great human being. And the turtle is thinking about withholding support from her and a couple other people. And so, yeah, but the Democrats, they say we're independent. You've just seen 4 years of what independent bipartisan work looks like, right? And so you're right. Unfortunately, that's what we're going to see. Our side fights like Cub Scouts, right? We're not good fighters. and they are. And it's MSNBC and all these people that always say, can't you work together? I mean, just listen to the commentary right now. You do not hear that kind of commentary coming out of Liberty University. The vitriol, hatred, it's kind of one-sided from one ideological perspective, where, you know, love your neighbor doesn't seem to be high on the roster.
It's true. I mean, it's a fair point. Well, Dave, we're going to leave it there, my friend. And, man, it's going to be so exciting next week in Washington. Folks, if you're there, you might want to go check it out over in the Cannon office building. And it's going to be really amazing, 1 to 5 o'clock Eastern. And you're going to meet a lot of incredible students. And, Dave, are you going to be there as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and let me give you a plug. Anyone that's listening, I know you enjoy listening to Todd. But please share his platform with all your friends, because you realize what you're getting intuitively. You're here, you're listening to a great human being. And so share his platform. Help him spread it.
That's it. Well, Dave, I appreciate that. And look, safe travel. Stay warm. It's going to be a little chilly up there.
Yes, you got it. All right, brother. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. What a good guy. Dave Pratt, Senior VP of Business Relations at Liberty University. And he really is revolutionizing this. So we call it almost an underground economy. It's really an alternative economy of conservative businesses coming together and standing together and doing business together. You know, that's what we're trying to do on this radio show with organizations like Timothy Plan and Patriot Mobile. Timothy Plan helping you to invest in companies that share our values. That's a huge thing. And that's why I want to tell you about our friends at Priority Gold. Folks, no doubt about it, the economy is on shaky ground right now. The good news is that gold is rock solid steady. Last year, gold actually outperformed the S&P 500, 39 record highs, and the experts say we could see even bigger gains this year. So I want to tell you about my friends at Priority Gold, brand new sponsors of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And they want to help you fortify your savings and also your retirement plans. And one of the ways you can do that is by investing in gold and silver and platinum. It is very simple to do, and they want to send you a free wealth protection guide. It is step-by-step to help you fortify your savings with gold, and they show you how. Now, it's important for you to know, no cost, no obligation, instant delivery, their free wealth protection guide. Text Starnes to 24999, that's Starnes to 24999, or you can visit PriorityGold.com and you're going to be able to get your free guide today. You know what I want to do, Ben Dieter? I want to give away something. We've got to give it. It's inauguration Eve, and I feel like we should give away something. All right, here's what we're going to do. Here is a inauguration trivia question. All right, here we go, folks. We need to know the name of the president who had the least amount of time in office. This is the shortest presidency in American history. Can you name the president? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. The president who had the shortest presidency in American history, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We've got a trivia question on the table, the shortest presidency in American history. Let's start with Rose in North Carolina. Rose, what's the answer?
Gerald Ford.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Rose, good guess, but that is not correct. Let's go to Howard in Memphis. Howard, what's the answer?
The answer is Garfield.
Oh, Howard, no, but good guess. This is puzzling some people.
Google.
No, don't Google.
That's what I'm doing.
No, don't Google. Let's go to David in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. All right, David, what is the answer?
William Henry Harrison. They got this on here, guys. All right. 90 days.
Yeah, that is correct. All right, David, you got to work with us here. You got to pause. We didn't need the commentary.
I like the commentary, David. Keep on going.
No. All right. Yes. Well, hold on just a second. I didn't mean to speak over Hail to the Chief. Oh, it's still going, isn't it? All right. Thank you. You can fade that out now, Dylan. Thank you. Yeah, David, congratulations. You know, this is fascinating. William Henry Harrison was like a guy's guy, and he had some Trump similarities, right? He was 68 years old, and he stood out in the rain and the cold, did not wear a top hat, did not wear a coat or gloves, nothing, not even mittens, and he came down with pneumonia.
Yeah, I come from a family that knows a lot of trivia. My brother reminds me of that one, and my grandmother used to wear it out when we went outside with nothing on our head like that. You're going to die like William Henry Harrison did from the inauguration or whatever, when he gave his inauguration and died. So yeah, I knew that one. I don't know much else about presidential trivia, but I knew that one.
Well, congratulations. By the way, the other big problem is that he gave a super long speech. It was over 2 hours. So he, yeah, he caught a cold, got pneumonia, and died a month later. So, geez, Lou, that's a tough one.
A long speech. That's kind of like Trump too. So they got that in common.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Well, hey, by the way, David, I mean, if you're a trivia guy, do you know what William Henry Harrison's campaign slogan was? It's a doozy.
No, I don't know that one.
All right.
I don't know that one.
Tippecanoe and Tyler, too.
Tyler, too. Tippecanoe and Tyler, too. Yeah, I know 5440 or Fight, I think, was Pope, but I'm not sure. But that's Tippecanoe and Tyler, too. That's a good one. Yeah, but I appreciate it.
All right. Hang tight, everybody. Don't go anywhere, David. We're going to get you a little prize here for winning trivia, so hang tight there.
Well, maybe Trump is taking a page out of this tragic inauguration day tale. Because it was the inauguration speech. He showed up. It was cold. It was the inauguration day that killed a president, they say.
It could be. And you know Trump. He's not going to go out there, you know, like all bundled up. You know, he's going to go out there like, you know.
Maybe a peacoat at max.
And it would have been the longest. That's the issue, is how long was the speech going to be? Would people be dropping? That's the question.
Well, if you recall in 2016, that was a lengthy speech. I was in college while that was happening, and I remember the cable news shows just being devastated by his speech. It was such a dark speech. He predicted and prophesied doom for America. I'm curious what his speech will be like on Monday.
I think it's going to be pretty awesome. Let's go to the phone lines here. Boyd in North Carolina wants to weigh in on the inauguration. Hi, Boyd. So what's your take here? They're moving it inside.
Hey, Mr. Stearns, I'm just praising God that our prayers have been answered. I've been worried about his safety and been praying for President Trump's safety, and I'm just glad that it was moved inside.
You know, there are people writing on social media that they think that this is an act of God, you know, that the Lord, dropped the temperatures to really force everybody's hand to get him inside.
I really think so. I think it was an answer of prayer, and I just thank God that he's still protecting President Trump.
Amen to that, Boyd. And again, with the changes that are being made in Secret Service, I'm pretty confident that they're going to be able to protect the president, but there are too many unknowns, and I'm really concerned about the numbers of illegals that have been allowed to come into the country that are domestic terror, you know, that would become domestic terrorists. And we just don't have a handle. We don't have a good enough handle on that. It was risky.
Yeah, I feel like it'll be a lot safer inside.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, Boyd, thank you for calling in. I tell you, Dieter, this weather has been wreaking havoc. I've been doing the balance of nature, but it's the weather. It's just it's hot, it's cold.
Did you forget your cough drops, your syrups, your elixirs, your essential oils?
No, I use the Ricola.
You don't?
I don't use that hippy dippy stuff. No hippy dippy stuff.
Maybe you should. You know, those doTERRA essential oils. My mom's a big fan of, is it violet? I don't know. It's a spearmint. You put it on your nose and you're good.
I did get some good cough drops over at the Whole Foods. And people now recognize me at Whole Foods, which is a little weird. But anyway, I was when I was standing in line, I thought, you know what? I need to get something for dinner. So I went into the freezer section and they had some. I like this Indian food now.
Oh,
I'm kind of
wow.
Expanding my horizons.
Todd likes curry.
So, well, not
this is breaking news. Can we get freaking
so Todd's, anyway,
wow.
They had these little things in these pouches, and it's sort of like a pierogi, I guess, but they're Indian. So I got some, and I pop them in the oven, and I'm eating them, and I'm like, oh, these are good, but I don't taste. You know how normally if you have something there were chicken, and so you would have the chicken in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tasted like chicken, but it was just there were no chicken bits in there. And then I looked, and I'll be doggone if all of the stuff I purchased from the frozen food section was plant-based. Mm-hmm. I was eating fake chicken, mm-hmm. which led to me getting sick.
Oh, so you're blaming the vegans.
I'm blaming the vegans. And here's why. And my bigger issue is with Whole Foods.
Very deceptive.
And yes, they need to have a separate section for the meat. They got to keep that plant stuff out of the produce section, right?
You want to segregate.
That's right.
The meat eaters from the vegans.
There needs to be a meat aisle and there needs to be a produce section. And the fake meat needs to all go in that side of the supermarket.
So you detected. You didn't eat. You didn't continue eating. You sniffed it out right away.
It doesn't matter that it was good. It doesn't even matter that it was delicious.
So we have bigger breaking news. Todd liked the vegan food.
No, it doesn't matter. It's my choice. My body, my choice.
Hey, guys out there, I'll let you know. I'll be the first to tell you if I see Todd bringing Beyond Meat burgers into this station. That's not
going to happen. Not going to happen.
Unless you don't know.
Keep your vegan crap out of the food aisle.
Go to Kroger. Quit going to Whole Foods.
All right. Hang tight. We got hour three coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So happy to have you with us. Wow, we have got a lot of breaking news today on this Friday. It is also Open Line Friday, and our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Write down that number, 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on my Newsmax show, we're going to be talking to Congressman Michael Cloud from the House Freedom Caucus, Tim Miller, a former Secret Service agent, and our good friend Dr. Paul Chappell out in Lancaster, California. They are helping relief efforts there in Pacific Palisades. And also another guest who will be on tonight, but you're about to hear him first on this radio program. We told you yesterday about what happened to State Senator Colton Moore, a duly elected member of the Georgia General Assembly, who was brutalized, thrown to the ground, manhandled, and arrested simply for trying to attend the governor's State of the State address. Well, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and Senator Moore joins us from inside the Georgia State House. Senator, good to have you with us, and how are you doing after what happened yesterday?
Mr. Starnes, thank you so much for having me. I absolutely love and adore your show. You know, I'm okay. I'm going to get better. It's not going to slow me down. Just like yesterday, I have a constitutional obligation to enter the fray on behalf of the people of Northwest Georgia.
So take us through this, because you represent, a couple of 100,000 people in the Senate. And I felt like those people were victimized, too, because you are their duly elected senator.
You're absolutely right. This has never happened in the history of the state of Georgia. I mean, you know, I was going to see the State of the State address, which is a joint session voted on by both chambers at the date and the time that we're supposed to convene. And what type of world do we really live in? What is the State of the State when the Speaker of the House sends out his attorney and does some WWE move and, you know, sends me to the ground and isn't arrested for assaulting a member of the Republic, but instead I'm arrested?
I saw your mugshot, and I have to tell you, you and President Trump take a really nice mugshot, to be perfectly, if you're looking for a silver lining here. But were you charged with any crime down at the Fulton County Jail?
obstruction of willful obstruction misdemeanor, which is kind of crazy considering the Georgia Constitution says that you cannot charge a legislator with a misdemeanor while session is ongoing. And the reason why that's put in place constitutionally is for this very reason. If a governor or a speaker of the House was to disagree with a member, well, shoot, they could just have them arrested every time and they would never have their voice heard anymore. So that's why that's put in place. One of the quirky things that's said in Georgia political science classes is, you know, a state senator or a representative, they can't get a speeding ticket when they're en route to the General Assembly. Well, all I was trying to do is my constitutional duty, just walking into the chamber, and was assaulted and arrested. I mean, the state of Georgia, well, it's tyranny. And when you start calling out big corruption in this state, well, it appears you deal with the Georgia mafia.
Yeah, I mean, you went down hard. I saw the video. Were you okay? Any, you know, any injuries? I had to imagine you're bruised up a little bit.
Yeah, my hand turned a bit purple, but it was x-rayed over at the hospital here in Atlanta. And it looks like I'm going to be okay. But, you know, that's not something anyone should have to worry about. I mean, I had to give up my personal liberties yesterday in defense of the liberties of people in Northwest Georgia.
Senator, let's explain why you were banned, because you were banned from the House chamber last year. The former Speaker of the House, a guy by the name of David Ralston, he was being honored, and you took issue with Senator or with Speaker Ralston, who has a very well-documented, checkered past, I think is a fair way to put it.
Well, yeah, he wasn't not only being honored, a building was being named after him in the state of Georgia, in Northwest Georgia, or in North Georgia. Many of my constituents go to the college that we were going to name a building after him, and ultimately, in order to name a state property building, well, the legislature has to sign off on that. And I voted no. I got up and debated why others should vote no, which I have a constitutional right and an obligation to represent my constituents and do that. That's what he took issue with, and that's what made a personal grievance to him. But yesterday, there was a joint resolution, you know, creating a joint session of both the Senate and the House of Representatives. So he took his word and made it more powerful than the entire General Assembly's word.
Yeah,
and
that is
a complete, you know, utter abuse of ministerial power.
Yeah, I just don't get at that. I mean, even the state Republican Party came out and sided with you on this, and I get decorum, but you know what? You're an elected senator. You have a right to speak your mind, whether, you know, I agree with it or not. You've got that right. I want to get your reaction to what...
Being thrown down to the ground by the speaker's attorney isn't very decorum-like.
No, it's not. Well, that's exactly. And I want to read to you, I want to read the statement from the speaker, because he's doubling down here. He says, you refuse to cooperate with doorkeepers and law enforcement. You created a dangerous situation when you chose to use force against law enforcement, dedicated doorkeepers, and House staff. So were you charged with assaulting any of those? Were you charged with assault?
No. And, I had to keep my hands back behind me the whole time, because I'm sure they would look for any excuse to charge me with assault. Had I been charged with assault, I would have had to face Fonnie Willis here in Atlanta with a felony assault charge. So I call those my Fonnie hands, keeping my hands back behind me. But that's what's absolutely crazy. The Georgia law even protects Georgia legislators, and it says that you cannot obstruct a procession of the General Assembly or the General Assembly. And as I told the 18 state troopers standing at the door, we all swore an oath to the Constitution. Now's our opportunity to uphold it. And I have more authority than this attorney or this doorkeeper standing here preventing me from doing my constitutional duty.
I have a lot of questions about what's going on within the Georgia Republican Party. Some of the people that have been elected, you know, Jeff Duncan comes to mind, for example. The fact that your fellow lawmakers would not go after Fannie Willis, and you caught a lot of flack for that, too.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about this Speaker of the House, John Burns, who did all of this to me. You know, he had articles of impeachment against Fannie Willis on his desk for an entire year and refused to take that issue up. This is a guy who calls himself a Republican, but has had men dressed up as women doing the invocation at the beginning of a General Assembly. So I don't believe Speaker John Burns and I are a part of the same party, and I know that I'm a Republican.
Wow. I'm curious the response you're getting from Republicans here in Georgia.
Oh, it's been absolutely positive and reassuring, you know, because real Republicans understand that we have a First Amendment right, that we're a constitutional republic, and we're ultimately the party of courage, and we're going to stand up to tyrants who definitely aren't Republicans.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Senator. We look forward to talking to you tonight on the Newsmax show, and hang in there.
All right. Appreciate you being the blowtorch, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. Senator Colton Moore from Georgia, did he do the right thing? What do you have to say about your Speaker of the House there in Georgia, John Burns, doing that, giving orders to take down a fellow Republican, a pro-Trump Republican? I don't know, folks. 901-260-5926, our number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, Newsmax got a great show for you tonight. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee, joins us. Senator, hope you're doing good today.
I am, Todd. Good afternoon to you.
All right, Senator, we're getting a lot of questions, and we had Senator James Lankford on earlier. Can you give us any insight into what are you guys telling people that were coming to the inauguration? Of course, it's being moved inside now, and I have to imagine a lot of folks were calling your office.
Yes, they are. And right now, we're still trying to get our hands on all of the logistical information. The ceremony has been moved inside the rotunda. There's probably not even enough room for the president, his family, the cabinet, and the members of Congress to all be in there at the same time. So I'm certain they're working on, you know, technological solutions, et cetera. One thing that I do know at this point is that the 20,000-seat arena, the Cap One arena that's on 7th Street in the northwest quadrant of Washington, is going to be used as a remote facility. That's still many fewer people than are coming to see President Trump's inauguration. But, again, that's a 20,000-person venue that would be like a closed-circuit TV set up, is my understanding, Todd, at least for that number of people. I would suspect, given the predicted weather issues here, that many will be watching it from their hotel rooms and hopefully have an opportunity of seeing some glimpse of the activities along the parade route as the president moves from the Capitol up to the White House. But I know it's a big disappointment to many, many people. I've got so many Tennesseans who are coming up here that have been extremely excited about seeing this, and I'm heartbroken that the weather is not cooperating.
Yeah, I don't think there are any Republicans left in Memphis. They're all heading to D.C.
So, that may well be true, and I think there will be, of course, there are other activities that people are coming up to attend, and I look forward to seeing our fellow Tennesseans at those. But it's going to be, an extremely cold day on Inauguration Day. They're predicting low teens with wind chills that'll take it down into single digits or even close to zero. And I think President Trump and his team are just deeply concerned that there would be health risks, safety risks, if you will, to those that would have to be out in the cold for a long time. I'm thinking about, law enforcement officers that will be there manning the events, et cetera. But, everybody's here to try to make certain it's safe, but it also needs to be taken into account the weather conditions.
Senator, we've been paying so much attention to the confirmation hearings. I wanted to get your take on Kristi Noem closing out, I think it's been a pretty darn impressive week for President Trump and the transition team.
I think what the American public has seen is that despite all the pearl clutching by the Democratic Party and the media, the legacy media that has shown, great gasps of concern at the people that President Trump is bringing in, what they've seen are people that are, yes, they're going to be disruptors, and that's what's caused the pearl clutching. But these people are highly competent. They've given terrific answers, and they demonstrated that whatever the Democrats throw at them, they can easily handle the questions. And I think we've got a very strong showing here. A great start this week, and we've had just excellent results, and I've had excellent feedback on our nominees and how they've acquitted themselves before a very adversarial process. I think I'm the only member of the Senate, Todd, that's actually been through the confirmation process in this way. I had my own confirmation hearing, and many tough questions lobbed at me, but at the end of the day, I got well over 30 Democrats, as well as all the Republicans, to support me. So my vote was in the 80s on that one. I think if you come, you do a good job, a professional job, you acquit yourself well, then you've demonstrated that that you're worthy to be a member of the president's cabinet, part of his team. Then you should get voted on quickly. I hope we will be able to do that next week and start to appoint some of these cabinet members on day one.
There are so many dumpster fires burning right now in this country on so many different levels. I think the good news here is that the folks Trump has nominated, these are individuals going in not with their agenda, but following through and working on Donald Trump's agenda. How important is it for the immigration immigration roundups to get started?
Well, it's terribly important. I think if you look at what the American public voted for, 75% of America voted for change. 75% of America felt that this nation was on the wrong track. Todd, you and I have talked about this before. People are expecting things to be fixed, and the number one item when you get down below that dissatisfaction is the immigration situation. Joe Biden, on his watch, we've seen, and these are the ones they've monitored, 10 million people coming into our country illegally. Number of them on the terrorist watch list. What we don't know is how many gotaways is the term they use. How many gotaways are here? That number could be 12 million, 13, up to 20 million, I've heard estimates as high as that, just in the 4 years of Joe Biden's reign. The American public expect us to clean this up. They see us here in the Congress right now voting on the Lake and Riley Act. We're working through the amendment process on that bill right now. But it's hard for me to imagine. Democrats blocked the Lake and Riley Act last year, but it's hard for me to imagine how they can go home after such an overwhelming outpouring from the American public on November the 5th and try to argue in the least that it's legitimate for people that have entered our country illegally and commit felonies not to be kept in jail instead of being turned loose like the Lake and Riley murderer was, and went to yet another state and committed a horrible murder. So we're seeing the change happen right now, and God, I've frankly been very impressed with the change that we've seen before President Trump even takes office.
Me too. Me too. Senator Bill Hagerty on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, we had Marsha Blackburn on yesterday, and we pointed out that she's been making some headlines, and she is prayerfully considering a run for the governor's mansion in Tennessee. Your thoughts about that?
Well, we've got a terrific state, and we've got a terrific group of people in Tennessee that could all be candidates. Certainly, Marsha Blackburn has been a terrific colleague for me here. She's talked with me about her considerations. And I think she's taking her time to think it through.
All right, good stuff. Well, Senator, we always appreciate you taking some time for our national show, and we appreciate the great work that you're doing in Tennessee. Thank you for being my senator as well.
All right, Todd, great to be with you as always.
All right. All the best. Thanks a lot, Senator. All right, there you go, folks. Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee talking about this wild week out there, and it certainly has been a wild one. Real quick, I think we can sneak in a phone call before we go to break here. Let's go to Jordan in Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, Jordan. What's on your mind today?
Hello, hello. The last time I talked to you, you were on election night across America, and I'm calling to say how great that was that night that you anchored along with Cassie, Ben, and Dylan. You made me laugh the whole way because I didn't want to watch TV in the three major news networks. I don't have cable. I don't have internet. But you hit a home run. You hit the grand slam. You had amazing guests, Jeff Katz, Jeff Stein, Cheryl Chumley, Dalton Glasscock, Amy Beth Shaver. It was just special. And that's why I'm calling right now, because it's election day, inauguration weekend, and I just want to thank you for what you did, because I listened to it on WCBM. I don't have internet or anything like that, unfortunately, but but I get to hear it in the replay at 11 o'clock at night.
Well, you're very kind, Jordan, and thank you so very much. I remember you calling in and being a part of our election night coverage. That was a lot of fun, and we're going to have a lot of fun over the next 4 years. I can promise you that. And we love our friends at WCBM. Give them a call and tell them you want to hear us in real time, noon to 3 Eastern. Jordan, we'd hate for you to stay up super late like that, but God bless you, and thank you for calling in. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy Inauguration Eve to you. And another little trivia question. Some great little tidbits about the inaugurations of years past. Can you tell me the president, the name of the president who delivered the shortest inauguration address? The shortest inauguration address. Was it JFK? Was it Herbert Hoover? Or was it George Washington? Can you tell me the name of the president who delivered the shortest inaugural address? JFK, Herbert Hoover, or George Washington? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know what I find interesting here? There was one of the strangest moments at a presidential inauguration, 1953, Dwight Eisenhower. He was there at this all happened during the parade, and he got lassoed. Could you imagine the president of the United States in modern day times getting lassoed? It happened. A rodeo rider and movie star Monty Montana was riding in the parade, rode up to the inaugural parade stand and lassoed Eisenhower in front of the entire crowd. It was quite the scene. And also one of the strangest moments in inauguration history. All right, I want to play some audio here from Bob Uecker. Mr. Baseball died, and if any of you fans of Major League, you know him through that, or if you love baseball, you know him through baseball. Bob Uecker, just one of the good guys, one of the great announcers of all time, and he passed away, had a very long life. Here's a little bit of Bob Uecker for you.
I did not have a lot of ability as a kid. My dad wanted me to have everything that everybody else had. I think the first thing that he ever bought me was a football. And I was very young, and he didn't know a lot about it. He came from the old country. And, we tried to pass it and throw it and kick it, and we couldn't do it, and it was very discouraging for him and for me. And we almost quit. And finally we had a nice enough neighbor came over and put some air in it. And what a difference.
Wow. Bob Uecker. They don't make him like Bob anymore, do they, folks? We're going to miss old Bob Uecker. Good guys in sports are getting old, and they're heading up to glory. So there you go, just remembering the great Bob Uecker. I want to play some audio here from out in Los Angeles. And we're getting more details about how diversity has played such an important role in the devastation and the destruction and the events leading up to the destruction in Pacific Palisades. So it turns out that 21 days before the fires broke out, a number of firefighters jammed into a commission meeting and warned them about these budget cuts that Karen Bass had been proposing at the time. Cut three.
If we cut one position, if we close one station, if we close one resource, the residents of Los Angeles are going to pay the ultimate sacrifice and someone will die.
Just last month, fire personnel packed an L.A. fire commission meeting, begging the city to rethink the budget.
These cuts came at exactly the wrong time, with calls for services at an all-time high and our firefighters at their breaking point.
We are straining our department's resources beyond the brink, and we cannot continue on this path.
City Councilwoman Tracy Park was there, too.
There you go. So And again, could the fires have been prevented? There's a possibility, yes. If they had been doing forest maintenance, if the reservoirs had been filled, if they had firefighters, the number of firefighters they needed, absolutely. It could have been prevented. By the way, there is a big concert, a benefit concert, called Fire Aid, and they're expecting thousands of people. So far, the biggest names in pop, rock, and country coming together to raise money for the victims of the fires in Los Angeles. It's going to happen at the Kia Forum. Billie Eilish, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Green Day, Gwen Stefani, Jelly Roll. Joni Mitchell's going to be there, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Pink, Rod Stewart, Sting, Stevie Nicks, and Little Baby. Oh, Dave Matthews and John Mayer are going to be there. Mayer are going to be there as well. May I just ask a question? When's the concert for the people of Western North Carolina? When is that concert? Where does that concert take place? Just curious. Because, you see, nobody in Hollywood, none of these artists, they don't care about Western North Carolina. They don't care about you folks in Eastern Tennessee. They don't care about you folks in the Carolinas or in Florida. But it's all about the rich and famous. That's what it's all about. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Sandra in Ohio. Hi, Sandra. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just fine.
Wonderful. All right, Sandra, we're going to try to win you a prize here. Who gave the shortest inaugural address in American history? Who was that?
George Washington.
Yes, Sandra, that's right. It was just 135 words, and I can tell you, as a radio broadcaster, that speech was maybe a minute long. So that was a pretty darn short inaugural address. It was his second inaugural address in 1793.
Yes, it was.
You know what needs to be said? There you go. All right, Sandra, congratulations. You're going to be watching President Trump on Monday.
Yes, I am.
All right. Well,
yes, I am. I can't wait. Thank you very much.
Sandra, good for you. Hang tight. We're going to get your information, and we will send you a great prize. And thanks for playing Inauguration Trivia. We're going to do some more of this on Monday as well. It's going to be a lot of fun Monday. Now, you just have to bear with us because all of this will be unfolding in real time during the noon hour, and we're going to take as much of the president's address as we can. There are some things that we have to do. For example, if the address comes on at noon, well, you know, we're going to miss the first few minutes because we're in the middle of a national news break. So there are some things that are just simply out of our control. But we're going to have a lot of fun Monday as we celebrate and party together on the radio. That's going to be a lot of fun. By the way, there's been a lot of controversy about the J6 defendants. We understand the last batch is set to be sentenced today. And there are many people out there saying that President Trump needs to issue blanket pardons to everybody that was involved in J6. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you believe that President Trump should go in there and issue immediate pardons to any American citizen who is involved in J6. I would say anybody except for the FBI agents who organized it all and who implemented it. Curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. I have to tell you, President Trump being inaugurated, I hope you're going to be watching it on Newsmax. Newsmax is one of the most trusted news sources in America. The fastest growing cable news channel in America. And all this week, Newsmax, 7 o'clock Eastern, Rob Schmidt doing a big series on President Trump's plans for day one. 8 o'clock Eastern, Rob Finnerty exposes the billionaires trying to stop Trump. That's why you need to watch Newsmax. Even President Trump says he watches it all the time. You can find Newsmax on all your major cable systems and YouTube TV. You can also download our free Newsmax app on your phone or TV, and you can start watching for free. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax. curious about something. Any of you folks still write in cursive? There's a report out of the New York Post. Adriana Diaz is the author. Reading cursive is now a superpower. The National Archives, needing your help, they are now seeking volunteers who can read cursive to help transcribe more than 300 million digitized objects in its catalog. Ben Dieter, I'm just curious to know from Dieter, do people in the like Gen Z, do you guys still do cursive? The National Archives says they've just got a big problem. Nobody reads cursive anymore. Nobody writes in cursive.
Do you write in cursive anymore?
I do.
Oh. Well, you're in high demand. Maybe, and I saw this story as well, Todd, and I'm thinking, well, if it's a superpower and the National Archive is seeking to people to transcribe these documents, I'm in high demand because I was trained, I was taught cursive.
Disguised as a mild-mannered letter.
Mm-hmm. See, this is what's going to be very problematic for these generations. I think what we're in Generation Beta now. That's the new one.
Oh, God.
Generation Beta is going to have zero idea how to read the founding documents. I mean, what happened? Who is going to preserve the country in the future if they don't know how to read the documents?
This is interesting. Most American schools no longer teach cursive writing. Is this true? Instead, they're encouraging kids to focus on their keyboarding skills. Mm. Now, right now, there are 24 states that actually require cursive to be taught. But the National Archives says they've got the problem they have is there's just not enough people that know how to read it. And if you don't know how to read it, you're not going to be able to understand any of our documents. I would say leading up to the 20th century.
Yeah, I mean, this is beyond just cursive and learning a font that no one uses much anymore. I mean, let's face it, no one's really writing in cursive that much unless maybe some of your listeners still write in cursive. I don't see it often, but it's the skills that you learn in writing cursive. It's like my parents. They made me learn how to learn piano. I had to take piano lessons for, 15 years? I'm like Mozart over here, and it was not because they wanted me to be some famed pianist. They wanted me to learn and use different parts of my brain. That's what cursive is for a lot of these kids, and they're not learning.
It's also an elegant style of writing.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's more formal, right? In Kentucky, by the way, 10 years ago, only 14 states required schools to teach cursive. So the numbers are going up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool. I want you to guess, though, which region of the country predominantly requires cursive writing in class in schools?
The South.
Absolutely.
The South.
I do declare.
Well, here's the thing. Don't you have to? I haven't written a check in my entire life. I've never filled out a check. My mom used to fill them out, and I'm sure she still does. And she said you had to use cursive on some of it.
Sure.
Is that true?
That's true.
See, I'm lost there, and I even know how to write cursive, but I don't know how to fill out a check.
I am shocked. California, you guys in Arizona out west, all of the southern states and along with Texas and Oklahoma. I don't really consider them south, but, you know, we throw them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, New Hampshire and Massachusetts. Then you've got all the Midwestern states, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia. I'm curious, any of you folks out there still writing in cursive? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Georgia. Foy is listening to us on WDUN. And Foy, I understand you are a teacher.
Yes, I was a teacher for 32 years, and I taught children how to write cursive.
Is that right? So are you surprised to know that kids these days just don't know how to write in cursive?
Well, really, I'm not terribly surprised because I know many teachers are not teaching it anymore. They're teaching the printing or manuscript, and so they're just not being taught to write cursive. We used the Palmer method way back when, and it's the one that I learned when I was a child, and we continued to have the little brown book that had the letters written there, and we could look at it. I had a cute little story I wanted to tell you about that.
Sure.
I work with children at my church, and so I oftentimes write them little encouragement notes, and so I wrote a little boy named Logan a little encouragement note one day, mailed it to him, and I'd been in a hurry, so I just wrote it in cursive, as I generally write in cursive. I did not take time to write it in manuscript for him. He's in the second grade, second or third, I think the third grade maybe by then. And so I saw his mother later on in the week or so after he received the note, and she said, when Logan got the note, I saw that it was in cursive writing, and I said, Logan, I will read it to you. And he said, that's okay, Mom. I speak cursive.
He speaks cursive.
I got a kick out of that.
That's great.
That's one of the things I'll remember a long time.
Wow.
They say that cursive is important because it helps develop motor skills and fine-tune your motor skills as a child. Is that true?
I definitely believe that. I certainly do. I believe
wow.
that.
You know, Foy, I could never get the Q, the capital Q in cursive, or the Z in cursive. I'm trying to do it right now on a piece of paper as we're on air together. Those ones always stump me. What? It looks nothing like the print Q or the print Z.
I know. You're exactly right. I've noticed that about the Qs and the Zs being a more difficult than some of the other of the 26 letters in the alphabet.
Now, the Z is kind of like the number 3 with a tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Wow.
Just takes a little practice. You can get it.
Foy, I have to tell you, I was doing a book signing a few years ago in Gainesville, of all places, and this sweet lady came in, and I signed my book, and I signed in a sort of a fusion cursive style.
Uh-huh.
And she came back in, and she said, what is that? And I said, that's my signature. She says, you need to work on your penmanship.
true.
Spoken like a true teacher.
A true teacher, that's right.
Oh, God, good.
In October, you wanted to send me a book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. I still have not received it.
Foy, that's unacceptable. All right, well, here's what we will do. We will put you on hold, Foy, and we'll make sure we get your information, and we'll get that right out to you Monday morning, first thing Monday.
I'm a patriot, and I would love to get your book and read that, and it's so much fun to win something, you know?
Well, you're certainly right.
Something good like that.
Well, you're so kind. Well, Foy, hang tight, and thank you for the story. And we'll be sure to get your information.
Foy just sounds like a great teacher, doesn't she?
She sounds
like a teacher.
She would be the quintessential teacher. I bet she teaches grade school, too.
Do you know what's interesting, Todd? Duolingo, which is where you learn a different language, that is actually on the rise. 216% rise with U.S. learners trying to learn Mandarin. So we don't know how to write cursive, but we're going to learn Mandarin real quick because they're freaking out about the TikTok. So now we're all learning Chinese.
I'm looking at the Q. I couldn't remember how to do the Q in cursive, and you're right. I couldn't do the Q.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a gun to my head. I couldn't do the Q.
It's sort of like a weird 2, the number 2, with the long. Yeah, it's kind of like it's weird.
Yeah.
That's strange. All right. I remember that in school, though. You had to do your alphabets, and you had to do it in a manuscript, and then you had to do it in cursive.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we teaching that? We ought to mandate that. That's what I say. All right, folks. Wow. We will continue the cursive conversation on the socials. In the meantime, get out there. Have a great weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun on Monday as we celebrate the return of Donald J. Trump to the White House. Folks, get out there. Have a great Friday. And be sure to go to church this weekend, America.